each one of you joining in the music tonight. I want to again just thank the Lord for the good services this morning. I think we had five that were baptized today, and had one lady who joined today that's been coming for several weeks, and some other decisions that were made, and we praise the Lord for that. I think we had 11 that I had cards on, 11 first-time adult visitors that were in the service this morning, and that was a real blessing as well. And just thank the Lord for what He's doing and for the way that He's working in our church and in our lives. Take your Bibles tonight. I want you to turn to a couple of passages of Scripture with me. And if you'll find your place in 1 Samuel chapter 23, and then find Psalm chapter 54. 1 Samuel chapter 23 and Psalm chapter 24. Today is Father's Day, and we talked this morning to the men about the matter of anger, the curse of anger, and the causes of anger, and the cure of anger, and the example of the elder brother of the prodigal son. And we found that the cure is found in the presence of God and the provisions of God and the purpose of God. And tonight I want to kind of talk to you a little bit about the family and share with you something that I believe can literally transform your family. You may say, well, I'm not a family here tonight. I'm just an individual person. Well, it can transform your life as an individual as well. Because what we are going to talk about that we can do as a family, we can do as an individual. So whether there's one person in your family or seven or eight or nine in your family, it can make a difference. If it's just husband and wife, if you're like Vicki and I, we're empty nesters and we're enjoying it. I remember when our daughter Jessica went off to college, her first year of college, she was struggling with homesickness, and she called us one day and she wanted to come home. She was crying. We said, no way you're coming home. We've waited 18 years for this. You're not coming home now, you know. But it may just be husband and wife in the home. And what I'm going to share with you tonight will make a difference in your home as well. You may say, well, I'm by myself. Well, it can make a difference on your own if you'll put into practice what I want to share with you tonight. Psalm chapter 54 we'll look at in just a moment. First of all, I want you to look at 1 Samuel chapter 23 with me and begin reading in verse 15. 1 Samuel 23 and verse 15. And we're going to find David here is struggling in that he is running from Saul, who is the king, and wanting to take the life of David. Saul knew David was going to be the next king. And he feared David, felt threatened by David. And so we find a little bit of how David felt here in this passage of Scripture in 1 Samuel 23. Then we'll look over at Psalm and see how God worked in David's life. 1 Samuel 23 and verse 15. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, underline that phrase, strengthened his hand in God. Well, that's something that we all ought to learn how to do in our lives. Amen. How to strengthen our hand in God. Verse 17, and he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul, my father, knoweth. So Saul's telling David, he says, I know this, and my dad knows you're going to be the next king. Now, why was that so important that Jonathan knew that? Because Jonathan was Saul's son. And he was the one in the normal process of things should have been the king. And Jonathan said, I know I'm not going to be the king. You're going to be the king. And I'll be by your side. Verse 18. And they two made a covenant before the Lord. And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself with us in the strongholds, in the wood, in the hill of Hakilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon. Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. So these folks in this city are saying, king, if you'll come, you know David's hiding here. If you'll come, we'll deliver him to you. Verse 21, and Saul said,
Blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. And I just want to say this about that verse. Saul said, blessed be ye of the Lord. The Lord didn't have anything to do with them wanting to deliver David. Did you know God gets blamed for a lot of things that people do that Christians do? And we say, God led me, or the Lord's leading me, and God had nothing to do with it. And Saul here is the one who says, blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. God wasn't in this at all. And I'm afraid a lot of times there are Christians who blame it on the Lord or give the Lord credit for it, and God's not in it. God didn't have anything to do with it at all. Verse 22, go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see his place where his haunt is, and who hath seen him there, for it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. See therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye again to me with the certainty, and I will go with you, and it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah. And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him. And they told David wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. For Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. But, verse 27, there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place Sibmah-Lahaboth. And David went up from thence and dwelt in the strongholds of En-Gedi. And if you'll keep your place there, I want you to go over to Psalm chapter 54 with me. Psalm 54, David writes this psalm, and this is the time when the Zephims came, and they said to David, doth not David hide himself with us? So this psalm comes from the time that we read about in 1 Samuel chapter 23. Verse number 1, Psalm 54, save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Here's David, he's hiding from King Saul, and he cries out to God, and he says, save me, O God, by thy name. Judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies. Chapter 55, he goes on and says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of the death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. You ever felt like that? Boy, if I could just fly away from all of this trouble and problems and difficulty. Verse 7, lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrows are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hand against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word and for these truths that are given to us here in these passages of Scripture that we've read tonight. May we be aware of the fact that just as David had an enemy, so we have an enemy. And just as David's enemy came after him, our enemy will come after us and try to destroy us and destroy our families. And I pray that you will help us to have some principles in place in our life to which we can flee to you and find help and strength and protection in the time of battle and war in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts tonight in a very special way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight I want to speak to you on the subject of family evenings with God. Family evenings with God. In these verses we read in 1 Samuel 23, we found David was going through some great difficulties in his life. In the midst of the problems that David had, running from King Saul and protecting his own life as well as his soldiers, his family, those around him. In the midst of all of that, David found safety and protection in his God. And I want to say to you tonight that we face an enemy as well. And the devil, who is our enemy, will attack us, and he especially wants to attack our families. You see, if he could have gotten David, he would have had his family. If he could have gotten the soldiers, he would have had their families as well. And so the devil wants to attack our families. Now, there's several things that I want to mention tonight, just by way of introduction. First of all, I want you to notice the danger that David faced. The danger that he faced. If you're still there in Psalm, look at chapter 54 and verses 1 and 2. He said, "Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth." And then if you look back, we read the verses there in 1 Samuel 23, and in verse 15 it says, David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. David faced some danger. Saul was there. And the temptation for David was to take things into his own hands and to fight against Saul and to use brute force, even though Saul had a greater army than he. On several occasions, David had the opportunity to take the life of King Saul, and he did not do it. Instead of using his force and his power and his strength, David relied upon his faith in his God, and he trusted God. And one of the keys to our having successful families and victory over the enemy in our life is putting our faith and trust in God and not depending on our own ability. In verse number 1 of Psalm 54, David said this. He said, "Save me, O God, by thy name." Save me by thy name. He said, David's crying out to the Lord. He says, "Lord, it's your name. It's not me. It's not my army. It's not my soldiers. It's your name that I need. It's your help." And I believe that one of the greatest dangers that you and I face is when we try to do the work of God in our own strength. When we try to lead our families as fathers in our own strength. When we try to build a Christian home. When we try to be the husbands or the wives that we ought to be. When we try to be the young men and young women that we ought to be. When we try to live our life for God, but try to do it in our own strength and our own power. That's one of the greatest dangers that we'll face. And there will be some times in your life when you will have to cry out to the Lord and say, "Save me, O God, by thy name." Not only was there the danger that he faced, but there was also the deception that surrounded him. The deception that surrounded him. In verse number 3 of Psalm 54, it says, "For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Here he says, there are people that are seeking after me, and these are people that they haven't set God before them. In other words, they're not followers of the Lord. These are not people that serve our God and love our God and want to live for our God. You know, sometimes as Christians, we can have within our own family people who have not set the Lord before them. Amen? We can have family members who say, well, you don't have to go to church on Sunday night. You know, you can go to church Sunday morning, just go once a week. That's good enough. Any good Christian can go once a week. Well, if that's true, why don't you try that physically? Why don't you try just eating once a week? Okay? Have you a big Sunday morning breakfast. And then don't eat until next Sunday and see how you do physically. Amen? Same thing's true spiritually. We need the spiritual food. But there'll be those in our own family. Teenagers, sometimes you'll have other kids in the youth group, in the church, that'll say, oh, you don't have to do that. You know, Brother Andy just thinks you've got to be this super spiritual person, you know. You don't have to be all sold out to God and really living for God. You'll have other young people that'll laugh at you because you want to live for God and you want to serve God and you want to do what's right. And there's deception and danger that we face in our lives. The Lord didn't have His rightful place in these other people's lives. They didn't set the Lord before them. All of us have a sinful nature inside of us. And that sinful nature, unfortunately, wants to be the king in our life. And it may not even be another family member. It may be yourself that is your greatest danger. You see, the person that I struggle with the most is the one I look at in the mirror every morning. Because I still have that old flesh that we have to do battle with. And if the Lord is not in His proper place, if I allow myself to fit into this description, as David said, they have not set God before them. If I do not set God before me, if I don't keep God in His proper place in my life, then I'm not going to be the father or the husband or the pastor or the Christian that I need to be. So there's the danger David faced. There's the deception that surrounded him, but there's the deliverance that God sent. The deliverance, chapter 54 of Psalm in verse number 4 says, behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He said, God is my helper. He's with me. Keep your finger there in those places in the Old Testament. I want you to go over to 1 John with me, chapter 5. And notice what John said over in the New Testament. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 14 and 15. In 1 John 4 and verse 14 and 15, notice what John says here in the New Testament. 1 John 5 verse 14, he says, and this is the confidence that we have in who? In Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of Him. John is saying the same thing David did. He's saying, my deliverance is in Him. When I ask Him, when I seek Him, when I look to Him for the help and for the strength that I need. David was deceived, and David is now in this city, and the people have told Saul, we'll deliver him up to you. And they have trapped David, and Saul's soldiers have surrounded him. And they're ready to take him. Go back to 1 Samuel with me in chapter 23 again. And I mentioned this or stressed it as I read through it. But verse 26 of 1 Samuel 23, it says, and Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul, for Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. What does that mean? He compassed them round about. They had surrounded David and his army, and it was just about curtains for David. He was ready to be captured because these men had told Saul where he was. But then you get to verse number 27, and it starts with a very, very important word. It says, but. David's compassed about. But there came a messenger unto Saul saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place Selah Hamalakoth. And David went up from thence and dwelt in the strongholds in Gedi. Here they are. David's surrounded. And the king Saul's about ready to capture David. And all of a sudden messengers come to Saul and say, Saul, there's an emergency back home. The Philistines are coming against us. You better let David alone for now. And you got to come fight the Philistines. Do you suppose God had anything to do with those Philistines coming in at that time? Absolutely. You see, David had cried out, oh God, in Psalm 54 and 55. I'm crying out to God for His help. And just when it looked like he was about to be captured, God steps in and God gets involved. And Saul has to leave and David is delivered. Now, look at chapter 55 of Psalm with me in verses 16 and 17. Psalm 55 in verses 16 and 17. And it says this. It says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. See, David said, I'll call upon God. He's the one that's going to save me. But then notice what the next verse says. In verse 17, it says, evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. David said evening and morning and at noon. Now, our daily schedule as a Christian needs to be conformed to God's schedule. We find here one of the secrets of victory in David's life, and it's the same thing that will bring victory in our lives as individuals and in our homes. It's in getting things in order, getting our schedule conformed to God's order. Remember this. Write this statement down somewhere. In order to change the future, the present must be disturbed. In order to change the future, the present must be disturbed. And here in Psalm 55, David goes to the Lord and he's pleading with God for help. And in verse number 1, he says to the Lord, he cries out to the Lord to give ear. He says, give ear to my prayer. And in verse 6, he says, oh, if I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. The only place to escape the dangers of this world is to come apart and to get close to the Lord and find His help and His strength. Escape by meeting with the Lord and communing with the Lord. And that's why David said, evening and morning and at noon will I cry aloud unto the Lord. And it's interesting to see his order. David makes a very simple statement. During the difficult time, he said, I'll cry to the Lord in these difficult, dangerous times. I'm going to cry out evening and morning and at noon. And God's principle for us is this, that our day ought to start with the evening. Evening and morning and at noon will I cry out unto the Lord. I won't take time tonight, but if we were to go back to the book of Genesis in creation, when God was creating in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And verse 8 says, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And verse 13 says, and the evening and the morning were the third day. Verse 19 says, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Verse 23 says, and evening and the morning were the fifth day. And verse 31 says, and evening and the morning were the sixth day. In the Garden of Eden, God established the principle that the beginning of the day is not in the morning. The beginning of the day is in the evening. Evening and morning and at noon will I cry aloud unto the Lord. And so many of us as Christians have our order out of order. We think the morning is the beginning of the day, and we get up in the morning and everything's racing and we're trying to get everything ready and get gone for the day. But if we look at the principle God laid down in Genesis, and you see it again here in Psalms, we find that our day actually begins in the evening. Under the Jewish calendar, their day began at 6 o'clock in the evening. In the Jewish calendar, at 6 o'clock tonight, when we started our church service, to them, that is actually Monday night. And from 6 o'clock tonight to 6 o'clock tomorrow morning is Monday night, and from 6 o'clock tomorrow morning till 6 o'clock tomorrow night is Monday daytime. And the principle even carried out in their day. A number of years ago, I visited over in the Middle East and in Israel. And on Friday night, remember, the Jewish folks still celebrate the Sabbath. Do you know when they start their celebration? 6 o'clock Friday night. At 6 o'clock Friday night, I saw families going out. I saw stores closing up. I saw families going to the parks and having picnics and doing things together as a family. It started their Sabbath day at 6 o'clock on Friday evening. Now, the world's got this thing all messed up. The world thinks that our week starts on Monday, don't they? And they got Sunday, all kinds of things going on, and they miss out on the first day of the week. The Bible says that we're to gather together on the first day of the week. We start our day on Sunday because we give the Lord the first day. Amen? And Sunday's the Lord's day, and we honor Him by starting the week and giving Him His time at the beginning of the week. And we fellowship together, and we worship together, and we prepare our hearts for the rest of the week ahead of us. We bring our tithes and our offerings on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. And as Christians, we have to be careful that we don't get caught up in doing things the way the world does things. Remember the story in the Old Testament about David after the Philistines had captured the ark? And they had some different things that happened to them. And finally, they came to the place because of the disease and danger of the ark. They wanted to get rid of it. And they didn't know what to do with it. And so they got some young cows, and they hooked a cart up to it, and they put the ark on the cart, and they sent it back, and it just headed off by itself and ended up going back to where it was supposed to go. And so when the Israelites wanted to bring the cart into Jerusalem, they tried to do it the same way the Egyptians did. And so they got a cart and they put the ark on there, and they're bringing the cart. That was not the way they were supposed to move the ark. The ark, if you study it, had rings on each corner. They were to put the long staves through the rings, and they were to have men carrying it. But they put it on the cart, and they came to the threshold, and the ark, they hit some rough ground, and the ark shook. And remember, there was a man by the name of Uzzah who reached up his hand to stabilize the ark, and what happened to him? He died. Because God told him they were not to touch the ark. And David got all upset about it, and God let David know, David, you're doing my work in the world's way, and it never works to do things the world's way. As Christians, we're to do things God's way. Sometimes we think, well, that's just a little thing. It's no big thing. But I want to tell you, most homes, even Christian homes, in the evening times, instead of beginning and having evening time or family time with the Lord, you know what we do in most of our homes? We spend 3 or 4 hours watching TV. And we have evenings with Hollywood. Amen? Now, I know some of you sitting there thinking, now, preacher, you quit preaching and gone to meddling now. You're starting to talk about my favorite TV program, you know. I'm just simply telling you, if we want our families and our lives to be godly lives, it starts in the evening with spending time with the Lord. Evenings with the Lord. And there are several things that we ought to do in relation to that I want to share with you very quickly. First of all, there's evening faith. Evening faith. Over in Hebrews chapter 12, the Lord talks about this. In Hebrews chapter 12, and you know the verses there, in verse 1 he says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And verse 2, this is what I want you to notice. He says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." Our evenings as a family or as individuals, if we're the only one in our home, we need to spend some time in the evening faith, looking unto Jesus. Faith reflects on the activities of the day. We look back over the day and believe that God's hand was in everything that we did that day. And we think about the activities and we rest in the Lord and know that God is in control of the universe, but He's also in control of my life. The Lord has cared for me through the day, and He's watched over me through the day. And I'm coming to the end of my day and getting ready to go into my night. And I can lay down and sleep because I know that the God who watched over me through the day is going to watch over me through the night. The Bible says He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's going to watch over me and take care of me. Years ago, a preacher that I met and knew said he was in a meeting with John R. Rice. John R. Rice was the editor of the Sword of the Lord for many years, wrote a lot of commentaries on the Bible and so forth. And they were in a meeting together, and they ended up being put in the same motel room together one night. And he said, "I couldn't wait to see how John R. Rice, this great man of God, before he went to bed at night, he said, I want to see how he spent time with God and how he closed out his day." And so he got to the motel room, and he said, "We got ready to go to bed." And he said, John R. Rice laid down his bed, pulled the covers up over him. He lifted his head up. He looked this way. He looked this way and said, "Lord, take care of everything." And he said he was gone. The reason he could do that was because he knew the same God that watched over and cared for him all day long would watch over and take care of him all night long too. And they had spent the evening in church and with the Lord, and they'd already spent time with the Lord. But evenings with God, evening faith. Secondly, there's evening gratitude. We need the evening faith looking unto Jesus. We also need the evening gratitude. In the evening time that we spend with God, we need to take some time to just thank God for what He's done for us that day. Thank the Lord for His safety. Thank Him for His protection. Thank Him for His provision. You see, even if you live by yourself, you're not alone. Amen? We're not alone because we have the Lord with us. God is there. And when we have evenings with God, we can communicate with Him and commune with Him and give thanks to the Lord. We don't need to grumble and complain about what happened in the day. Instead, we rejoice and thank God for what He's done. We are to be grateful for all of His blessings. I was watching one day this week just a couple of minutes of Fox News, and they had Pat Williams, who I think years ago was the coach of the Boston Celtics, I think, and he's still on staff of one of the, maybe still the Boston Celtics, I'm not sure. But he was talking about some things that his dad taught him in order to be a success in life. And one of the things caught my attention, he said this, he said, "Make every day a masterpiece." Make each day a masterpiece. You know what, if we can come to the end of the day and just spend some time, we can think back over the day. Was this day a masterpiece for God? We can also think ahead and say, okay, how can I make tomorrow? What do I need to do tomorrow to make it a masterpiece? And just take it one day at a time. Make each day a masterpiece. Evening gratitude. Thanking God for His protection. Thanking God for being with us. And then there's also evening Bible reading. As a family or as an individual, in the evening, get your Bible out. Read some of the Word of God. Develop a plan for reading through your Bible systematically. You can do it one chapter a night. You can do 10 chapters a night. Whatever you want to do, but develop a plan. I've done different plans through the years in my own. There sometimes, right now, my practice is to read through the New Testament every month. And that takes a considerable amount of reading each day to do that. And it'll take me about 45 minutes to read each morning. And if I do that each morning through the month, I'll read through the New Testament every month. There have been other years when I've just read two or three verses each day. And then spent maybe half hour, 45 minutes, an hour studying those verses and letting God speak to my heart and teach me from those verses. So it's not a certain way you have to do it. But in the evening, take time to read God's Word. And as a family, if you have younger children, it's a good time to read Bible stories to them and to spend some time teaching them the truths of God's Word. God speaks to us through His Word. And whether it's as a family or as an individual, we meet with the Lord in His Word in the evening time. So there's evening faith, there's evening gratitude, there's evening Bible reading, there's evening prayer. In the evenings with God, there ought to be some times when we pray. And you know, you don't have to do it, but sometimes it's a good thing for you just to touch each other, just to reach out and take each other's hand as a family and pray together. When we discipline our children, we ought not to use our hand to spank our children. Our hand is to be an object of love. You should use a paddle. You should use our kids, we used to use a rod. They talked about the rod that we had. Your hand ought to be associated with love. And in the evening time, you can reach that hand of love and take the hand of your mate or the hand of your children or whoever is with you. And if you're by yourself, Well, I guess you could hold your own hand while you're there, but you could imaginarily reach up and take the hand of God. But sometimes it's good just to touch each other and to share your love and pray together. Our homes are to be a place of peace and serenity, not a battlefield. So much of the blame for the unrest in our home can be traced back to not properly assigning the right thing to our evening time together. You may say, well, preacher, I've got my favorite television program to watch, or I've got the news to catch up on. Most of us don't have to catch up on the news. We have more information than we know what to do with already. But if you must, DVR it or something and watch it later if you got to. But we need some time in the evening. You know, one of the things I appreciate about revival meetings, and a lot of churches don't have revival meetings anymore. I was talking to a pastor recently, and he said, well, it's been 2 or 3 years since we had a revival meeting. I thought, man, that's sad. But one of the good things about revival meetings is it brings us to church every night, and we're away from the television, or the hellavision, or whatever you want to call it. And in our homes, if we would begin to take evening times with God and turn the television off, when you bring the television into your home, you bring in a lot of things that are going to influence your family the wrong way. And you know what's happened? The curse words are on television anymore. And all the things that are suggested through what you see. It'd do a wonderful, wonderful thing in your family if you turn the TV off for a while and spend some time with the Lord. Sing some songs together with your family. Read some Bible stories. Read some good Christian biographies. Our kids, when they were younger, and I know my grandchildren now, they love for us to read to them. When Vicki and I were in South Africa and stayed with Kelly and Joel, Wyatt would bring... I think Vicki read 3 or 4 books to him while we were out there. He'd bring her book and say, read, Grandma, read. And she'd read the book and he'd bring it back and read. He brought it so many times, she got tired of reading. You know? She wanted to say, you read, Wyatt. But kids love for you to read to them. Read some good Christian books. We've got a little library over here. Most of you know that as the donut room. But there are good books in there that you can check out and read. And there are a lot of videos that you could check out and show. And if you still have most of them are VHS, and most of you still have the VHS in your home, you can pop that video in and watch it. And you can spend some time with some good Christian stories and Christian things. But evening times with the Lord. Evening Bible reading, evening prayer time, evening meditation. We need some time in the evening to meditate on and to memorize the Word of God. What have the right kind of music in your home? Let me ask you a question. How much Scripture can your children quote? We ought to have some children in our church that are memorizing Psalm 100 and Psalm 23. We ought to have some young people that are memorizing different passages of Scripture in the Bible, that you're building them into their life. And by the way, dads and moms, you need to memorize it too. They might pick it up quicker than you do, but you work at it and let them see and know you're working at it with them and that it's important. I remember when I was in college at Tennessee Temple, I'll never forget, we had a man who came. I think he preached, I don't know if it was a revival meeting or was just a guest speaker one night. But he brought his son in, his boy. I don't know how old he was, 4 or 5 years old. They had to put a chair up behind the pulpit. He stood on that chair so they could see him over to the top of the pulpit. And he started quoting chapter after chapter of the Bible. And that dad and mom had worked with that little boy and had been training him and teaching him and helping him to memorize the Word of God. Build God's Word in your heart and life and in the hearts and lives of your children. Evening meditation and memorizing on the Word of God. Good things that will help you and that will encourage you to live for God. Now, I know you can do all of that. And if you don't get to the heart, your kids could memorize the whole Bible. And if it doesn't touch their heart, it's not going to do them any good. But those are things will help to get to the heart. God's Word is powerful. And so we need evening times with the Lord. David said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray, and He shall hear my voice. God will hear our voice. He wants to hear our voice. He wants to answer our prayers, and He wants to change our The problem is, though we're good Christian people, most of us are, and you love the Lord, and I love the Lord, but this old world has so much influence on us that God sometimes has a hard time getting through to us. You want to change your kids' lives? You want to change your life? Start having evening times with the Lord. And it doesn't have to be 4 or 5 hours. But spend some time with the Lord each evening. Read the Bible. Pray together. One of the things that I remember from my childhood growing up, my dad and mom, we had family altar in our home. We, as our kids first start out, one of the ways they learned to read was from reading the Bible. You have a little child that's just learning to read, find the word "the" in there. And every time you come to it, stop and let them read that word. Find the word "is," and every time they come to it, show them what it is, let them see it. Let them read it every time you come to that word. You should begin to teach them words, and you can begin to teach them to read, and they can learn to read from the Bible. When our kids were still at home, we homeschooled them for a number of years. Our whole curriculum was wrapped around this book right here, the Bible. We spent several years just studying Matthew 5 and 6 and 7. And taking from each part of it. We had a lesson I remember on a science lesson. When the Bible talks about Jesus, when he went up to the mountain, he was on the mountain and he gave the Sermon on the Mountain. And in chapter 5 and verse 1 he says, "And seeing the multitudes." And the lesson just took the word "seeing." And from that, we developed a whole science lesson. Talked about the eye, the different eye diseases, the different parts of the eye. There's all kinds of things, you know, just from that word "seeing." Where do we get that? We found that word "seeing" here in the book. See? And what we were doing is we were having family time with God. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you want to make a difference in your family, remember, your day starts in the evening. Evening and morning and at noon will I cry aloud to the Lord. You'll find the peace it'll bring in your home if you get some of the worldliness out in the evening and spend some time with God. One of the other things I remember as a child growing up, we had the old record players. You remember when you had those big 45s and they had the little hole in the middle of it? And some of you, don't look at me so strange, you remember them too. And my mom would stack about 5 of those big 45 long play albums on the top of that stereo. And that arm swung out and dropped down on them. And one of them would drop down and it would play. And when it got to the end, the arm would lift up and come across. And the next one would drop down. And it would play. We went to sleep many a night listening in our home to the good Christian music. It just brought peace in our home. Not fighting, not even the hustle and bustle of rushing around. And you know what? Your mornings will be different if you plan in the evening time. Sunday morning, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but if I asked you how many of you struggle with getting all the clothes and getting the kids ready and getting to church on time and all that, you could change that if you did that on Saturday night. Get everything ready on Saturday night. You can do that when your kids are in school and you get everything ready the night before. And you just sort of, instead of going to bed. Some kids, some of our teenagers, not these of course, but some of the ones that aren't here tonight, they stay up till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning watching TV and their mind's got all kinds of crazy stuff in it. You know, they watch Friday the 13th and then they try to go to sleep and they wonder why they have nightmares in the middle of the nighttime. Instead of meditating on the Word of God and the things of God and having a family evening or personal evening with the Lord, and closing out your time by getting in the bed and just going to sleep almost like in the arms of the Lord. We used to sing a song that said, "Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on His gentle breast." And there's where we'll find the help and the protection and the safety that David found when he was running from King Saul and he's surrounded by the army. But God said, "Saul, Philistines are coming. You better go get them and leave David alone." We've got an enemy who's coming after us. But they're two words. But God. And God will protect you and protect your family and change their lives if we'll begin to follow the principle of starting our day in the evening with God and then preparing for the rest of the day. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you that as Christians we can spend evenings with the Lord. And I pray that you'll help us to begin to weed out some of the worldliness in our lives as Christians. And we'll begin to focus on you. And spending our evenings thinking about, meditating upon, fellowshipping with you. With gratitude. With praise, with meditation and memorization, and literally building our lives around you and becoming men and women of God, boys and girls of God, people who have a heart for God. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder how many of you say, "Preacher, God's speaking to me tonight. I need to change how I do my evenings." Maybe as an individual, maybe as a family. But tonight you'll say, "Preacher, I know it's a pretty big thing. It's a pretty big bite to take and to chew. But I'll at least pray about it." And with God's grace, we're going to begin to do some things different in our life or in our home. Would you pray for me tonight? Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you? God bless you. Yes, yes. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. You may put them down. Teenagers, I remember a family some years ago. A young man who was my friend as I was growing up. His dad was an alcoholic. And he and his mom had to hide, but they would go into a bedroom and close the door and hide from his dad. And they'd read the Bible together and pray together. You may have parents that are not even saved. You probably won't have to hide from them, but you may have to go to a quiet place away from the TV and away from everybody else and just spend some time with the Lord before you finish up your day. But I want to encourage you, families, couples, individuals, begin with the evening. David said, "Evening and morning and at noon will I cry out." The Lord said, "And the evening and the morning were the first day." Father, would you help us? Would you change our lives? Change our homes? And give us a heart for you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.